Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody out tonight. You know what's amazing to me is that we started out in the back of the days, we used to have church on Friday nights. Then we would have church on Sunday morning and Sunday nights. And things were not working that good. So we switched over to a Wednesday night. And we were at Five Points. I remember at Five Points, there was times when we were getting up to 300, 400 people on a Wednesday night. It was packing out. And so then something happened and we had to move. We had to move. And just we've been for years. And we've been wanting to build our Wednesday nights for a number of years. And we just couldn't seem to build it at these two locations we were at the last. But now that we've moved here, I see that Wednesday night is a powerful night. And, you know, and as your pastor, I think about stuff like that. I think about how Wednesday's hump day, man. Wednesday's the middle of the week, and it's like the middle of the week where, you know what, I got to come and get my praise on. I need a word from God. Take me through the week. And so we're so glad to see you here on Wednesday nights. I tell you right now, man, there's nothing more exciting than seeing people hungry for God. You know, as a pastor, I've been pastoring a number of years, and, man, there's something that thrills me as a pastor, and that is to see people hungry for God, hungry for a word. And I know sometimes we have prayer nights and sometimes we have other functions, but we want to give you a word every Wednesday, and I got a word for you tonight. I believe it. I believe I got a word in season for you tonight. But there's going to be some Wednesday nights that we have gathered for prayer. There's going to be some Wednesday nights that we have testimony nights, and you're not always going to get a broken down 3 points in a poem kind of message. Amen. Sometimes you're going to get, it's going to be something different. But I'm going to tell you right now, we like to mix it up. So I hope you'll just keep on coming to Wednesday nights. I hope you'll invite your friends, your coworkers. Even, you know, sometimes people right out of work, you just come straight from work here. And we want you to know that we're excited about what God is doing on Wednesday nights. I'm just standing up here right now, really excited. And how many believe that it won't be long until we can pack this place out on Wednesday nights? I'm talking about packed. I'm talking about to the back walls. I would love to be forced to be able to open the doors and put chairs in the foyer. Amen. That'd be nice. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, right there, I'm going to ask you if you take your Bibles and open to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse number 1. We're going to read a few verses and then I'll let you be seated again. It's good to have you here. Those of you for the first time, make sure that we meet you after service and also that you get your gift if you haven't already. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're busy, all right? We're busy people. We're busy. We got all kinds of stuff going on. And this weekend's going to be great. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm so excited. Scott Hinkle, you know, is an ex-heroin addict. He went through some crazy times from New Jersey. And he's been involved with some powerful ministry. I tell you right now, he has the largest outreach ministry, the Mardi Gras, in New Orleans. I'm talking about, man, they reach thousands of people there, man. It's God just using their ministry worldwide, internationally. It's a good friend of our pastor, Pastor Sonny's, and I hope you'll come back. So I hope you'll bring somebody who needs Jesus, because he's one of the most powerful preachers. And then Sunday night, man, Sunday night's going to be the region. All the pastors are excited. You're going to be meeting the new pastors from Las Cruces. Amen. They're the new pastors, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that. Amen. The Pastor Gary and April took another church. They went to repair another church. Amen. And so they're good at that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. And let's just read it real quick together. Amen. Now faith is, everybody say now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Father, we love you. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, you move tonight, speak to every heart. Open our ears, God, to what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church tonight, God. We pray, God, I pray you use me. You increase my capacity. Father, you would, Father God, move me out of the way and you just minister in any way you'd like to, Lord. Father, please have freedom in this place. And Father, speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Turn to somebody and say, God wants to take you to next level faith. Tell them, next level faith. And you may be seated. Let me read that verse one more time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, faith. Everybody say now, faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is our assurance that what God has promised us, He is sure to accomplish. He is sure to do no matter what it may look like. How many know that a couple of weeks ago we had a big rally, a big cruise for hope? I had at least five or six people attempt to ask me what was going to happen if it rained, and then they stopped right before they asked me because they already know me. We're going to have a rally no matter what. But the clouds were, man, it looked like Kansas or Missouri or someplace. Man, there were the clouds. All the whole city of Albuquerque was full everywhere except right over 8th Street and Central. So what we're setting up in the daytime, this ain't going out, I'm here. What we're setting up in the daytime, it's looking like that, and people are asking, man, it looks like it might rain. We're supposed to get rain in the evenings. I'm like, we got souls to win. So cut it out. I don't want to hear no negative, no, it ain't raining. Okay. The umbrella in their head. But faith is our assurance. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. It's what we get under. You know, I always carry an umbrella. I may be a man of faith, but I'm not dumb. If it rains, I'm going to have an umbrella. And I always have an umbrella. And I had two brand new umbrellas. They only cost $4 at Home Depot, if you didn't know that. Really nice ones, big ones like that. So I always have a couple. And I had one there the other day, and it was started raining, and I was like the only person with one. And I felt like the smartest person in the crowd. Amen. Until other people started bringing them out, and I said, okay, I'm not alone. But it's like I got under the rain, and the rain wasn't hitting me. See, that's what faith is. Get under the umbrella of God's anointing, God's favor, God's... That's what faith is like. You get underneath that, and the rain doesn't hit you. The circumstances don't hit you. The Peterson's version reads like this. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. See, it's our handle on what we can't see with our own eyes. It's what we stand under. It's the title, deed, if you will, of the things that we hope for. You're hoping for a loved one to be saved. You need to hold that title in your hand and say, it belongs to me. Because God promised me he's going to get saved. She's going to get saved. I know my grandson's going to get saved. I know he's going to get delivered. You see, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see with our natural eyes. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear tries to entrap us and hold us bondage to. That's what it does. Fear is the opposite of faith. You see, I believe we're in a season of victory. Even when there's trials in your life, when you, as you see those trials be pressed down, moved out of the way, run down the river, this extinguished from your life, when you see that, you have to understand that in order to get the victory, there must be a fight. When you battle, there's going to be a fight in battle, and when you are victorious, you know that you've come through a battle. And so if there's going to be victory, you're going to have to go through some things. But So just because you're going through, you may be saying, I've been hearing a lot about the victorious woman. I heard my wife just preached her guts out last night. That's what I was hearing. But I heard the way the ladies up in this house were just, there's fire going on in here. And she talked about the victorious woman. We've been talking about the victory and a year of victory. This is our year of victory. And as we talk about that, you might be saying to yourself, you know, everybody else is in victory, but my goodness, I'm going through the trial of my life, man. I'm about to lose my mind. I don't know what's going to happen. And you're thinking that way, but you're not understanding that in order to get to the victory, you have got to get through the battle. You see, this is your year of victory. But you got to learn how to fight, and you can't get victory without a without a match. You see, this season that God is bringing you through, this victorious season, is not like any other season that you've been through in your life. This is a new season. And it requires next level faith. You cannot get into the season that God is trying to get you into with the same faith that you won the last battle with. The last battle that you won that gave you victory proved your faith. You grew in your faith. But this battle, this season, requires that you have next level faith. Not the same faith you had back then. That was good for then. That took you where you needed to go. Listen, you're not in the sixth grade no more. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. You need to move to the next season. You need some new methods. You need to learn how to pray just a little stronger, a little deeper. You need to go a little deeper. You can't get along with the same kind of prayers that took you through in the first couple of years of your salvation. It's time to get a little, you need to go on the grind. See? I'm talking about the kind of faith that steps out all the way to the edge. The kind of faith that goes all the way to the end of you. In other words, you're at the very, very end and says, I don't know. I have nowhere else to go. All I have to do is trust God. I have to get up underneath that faith. I have nowhere. I've got to get to the edge of it. When you think like that, and when you begin to ask God to give you that kind of faith, He begins to pour it on you. See? A faith that speaks to the sick and sees healing. A faith that witnesses miracles. The kind of faith that when you're asked to go to the hospital and pray for somebody and they're already making funeral arrangements, they're already putting an obituary together, that they have to switch horses in the middle of the stream and they have to put it to, instead of putting together an afterglow, you know, a fellowship with the family, with food and stuff after the funeral, they just got to turn that into a Holy Ghost party of gratitude. Attitude that says, my loved one's coming home from the hospital. I'm talking about that kind of faith, the kind of faith that thinks like that. Doesn't say, oh, I don't know if they can be healed, and the doctor said it's already staged this and staged that. And I got news for you that God wants to give you the kind of faith that takes you out to the edge and say, I rebuke you, death, in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of infirmity. Get off of them in Jesus' name. That's the kind of faith God you need. You need a next level kind of faith. Huh? The faith that sees the mighty hand of God work in our midst. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, it shall be done. See, the season that God wants to take you into requires next level faith. You that have been in the home for 3, 4, 5 months now, that faith that you had just to get to the home is not enough to finish the home. You keep tripping over the same kind of trial. That'll make a good title to a message. Don't trip over the same trial. I mean trip, like, not trip. Or maybe that kind of trip too. See, the level of faith that you're used to is not enough. That's why you get so discouraged so easily. You get real discouraged real easy because you start speaking to yourself. I can't do this. You call up Pastor Joe, he doesn't answer. You call up, you know, Pastor Pat, he don't answer. Pastor Charles, he don't answer. It could be because you've called them 5 times for the same thing, and they prayed they prayed 5 times the same way with you, but you ain't agreeing with them. They're saying, okay, let's let them learn on his own. I'm not saying that's what they're doing. So you call up the home, you call the office, you start calling everybody up everywhere else, and all you had to do is call on Jesus. All you had to say, wait a minute, man, I'm mad at my church. I had to go to the hospital myself. And I had to lay hands on my auntie myself. Think about that for a minute. On your way to the hospital, who would your auntie rather see, Pastor Joe or you? I'm not saying nothing bad. Who would they rather see, Brother Sam or you? They don't know Sam. They have no idea who Sam Lackey is. But they know who you are, Maria, Jonathan, whoever I'm preaching about. If you walk in that room and say, okay, auntie, perfecta, enough's enough. I break that spirit of infirmity over you. You're done. You're not going to be sick no more. What? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm praying just like Pastor Danny. I think he said like this on Wednesday night. Father, in the name of God, I break that spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. Come out of her. And then she gets healed, and then you're like, wow. You see, I'm going to take you on a journey about what you need and how faith is a must for every believer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 10, real quick. I want to get this whole message through, so I'm going to try to run quick here because I want to finish in my time. Amen. Acts 14, and then let's read from verse 8. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 through 10 says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Everybody say he had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Let me say that again. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked before. Now, this was not a man who had been injured and now he couldn't walk anymore. This was a man who had been lame in his feet since he was born. Out of his mother's womb, he came out like that. So he'd always been like that. It wasn't like he had experience walking before. It wasn't like they had seen him walk to school and then something happened. He got run over on his feet or something. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like he got injuries. He just never had walked before, so he didn't even understand what it felt like to walk. The Bible says this man heard Paul speaking. And I love what he says. Paul observing. Everybody say observing. See, we have to be observant. And Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Verse 10 says, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now, think about this for a minute. This young boy, this man, he's a young man. All of his life had watched everybody run. Everybody helped their fathers carry things up and down, and it seen people jumping off fences, and they saw people, you know, doing things with just moving around, walking like everybody else. And imagine the times where he sat there and just sat there and said, "I wish I could do that. I may not know what it feels like, but I know what it looks like. I may not understand what it feels like to stand on my own feet, but look at the way they jump. I wish I could jump like that." And so here comes this man of God, this powerful man of God, and they've already heard testimony, and they see already here that the Spirit of God is moving, man. They've heard about Paul's testimony. He's been laying hands on the sick. They've been recovering. The dead have been raising from the dead. They've heard about Jesus, the power of Jesus Christ, and people getting saved. And all of a sudden, this boy looks at him with this intent eye. He looks at him, and Paul observes by the Spirit of God in the discernment of the Spirit. He looks at him and perceived that this young man had the faith to be healed, even though he was in an impossible situation. His situation was unlike some others, where he had a broken foot and now it needed to be fixed. This is a foot that never worked before, and all of a sudden, Paul perceives by the Spirit that this guy has faith enough to be healed. I want you to get that in your spirit. So we see that it's important for us to have faith. This man had the faith to be healed. Paul recognized it. And we see here in Matthew chapter 8, you don't have to turn there, but you can mark it down. Matthew 8 and 26, that Jesus tells his disciples, you know what, you have little faith. He tells them, but he said to them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was calm. Now, why do I switch to that scripture? Let me tell you why I switched to that scripture. I switched there because that is the exact opposite of what that young man had. These ones thought they were going to lose their lives. They thought they were going to drown. They thought the winds were going to take their boat apart. And they were in a whirlwind. And it was just the waves were high. And they were full of fear. Instead of trusting in the one that's right there with them, the one who created the oceans, the one who created the water. And instead they're full of fear. And he says, oh, you of little faith. I mean, in other words, haven't you seen the miracles happen over and over and over? Don't you trust me yet? You mean you can't trust me for a little storm? You can trust me by all the things you've seen, but you can't trust this? See, the word little faith here in the Greek is the word oligopistos. Everybody say oligopistos. And it comes from the root word oligos, which means not Holy Ghost. But oligos, oligos, O-L-I-G-O-S. And it means small. And the word pistis, which means faith, and it describes a faith that lacks confidence and trust too little. Okay, I've seen God move a little bit at church, but I need a scientific explanation. What I need. If I can get a scientific explanation and I can see it all work out like that, I'll believe. See, Jesus used these words not so much like to rebuke them, but he was like correcting them tenderly. Another way to explain it is that he was telling them, you guys have underdeveloped faith. And there are some of you here that have been serving the Lord for a while that you still have underdeveloped faith. Because, you know how I know that? It's because after all these years, you're still struggling with believing for God to do what he said he would do. Why? Because maybe it's been a long time since you see God do it, work in that area of your life. It could be that maybe God is allowing you to wait for a little while to build your faith greater. I don't know. But I know this, that God wants to develop a next level type of faith for you and I. We can't get to the next season of our life with the same faith we have now. We have to grow in our faith. And the way we grow in our faith is through the trials and through the stuff that we go through. See, God has called us to great things, great tasks, great ministry. And that requires great faith. But it doesn't just require great faith. It requires next level faith. And to step out in that kind of faith, we have to believe. We have to trust God. We have to stand on God's word. We have to stand on what he says. We have to stand and say, Lord, I believe with all of my heart. We literally have to get out to the very edge of us and say, okay, God, I don't know anything else but you. I don't trust anything else but you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I trust you, it's going to happen. Amen. And there's a lot of people that are hard. It's hard to step out in faith. Now, there's four reasons why people don't step out in faith. Number one, they don't have the faith they need. We all have a measure of faith. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, for though through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as he to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You see, we all have a responsibility to grow in our faith. If you just stay in the same position, if you just hold on tight to everything. If you don't step out in faith, you're going to still have faith. You're still going to be a believer. But it's not until you take a step out of your comfort zone. It's not until you take a step out of the easy place. It's not until you take a step off that place that feels like safe. Until you do that, that your faith grows. That's when your faith grows. So it's something inside of you already that God has placed there. He said, I've given you a measure of faith. It's not the amount of faith that you have, but it is the quality of faith. You may have little faith. Jesus said, you know what? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and it'll move. So it's not so much the size of your faith. It is the quality of your faith. If your faith is not that not as much as like the next person, but you know, but I believe that God can heal. I believe God can save. I'm believing for that job. I'm believing for that promotion beyond a shadow of a doubt in the name of Jesus. When you have that kind of an attitude, when you have that kind of a positive, exciting attitude, I'm going to tell you something right now. God begins to connect to that kind of faith right away. When you're negative, we say, oh, I'm never going to get that job, and nobody loves me, and all the, and you start getting into that kind of mode. I'm going to tell you something right now, man. God's going to say, oh, well, I got to let him grow a little longer. I got to let him go through one more time. I'm going to have to let him grow. See? The second reason why people don't ever step out in faith is because they can't see what they're believing for. A lot of people have a lack of perception. You can't see. You can only see up to the furthest place of your faith. Now, beyond that, you can't see. It's kind of like me. I have these glasses right now, and I can see all the way up to about where Joanne's at. And after that, I got to start. I go, oh, you're here. Oh, I didn't know you were here. That's distance. It's distance. I only need glasses for, I don't need them for reading, I don't need them for this section right here, but I need them for distance. And so a lot of people have a lack of perception. If you can't see past a certain place, then you're never going to be able to believe for a certain place. If all you say, well, I don't have a degree, I don't have a master's degree, I don't have an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, I could never get a job like that. Oh, you'd be surprised about how people, even people in our church right here, there's testimonies of people right here that don't got no degree, and they work in the highest place of their corporation. Right here in this place. Why? They have faith. See, there's a story in the Bible. I'm not going to read it, but in Acts chapter 3, I spoke on it a couple of weeks back on when I talked about praise. But the man at the gate, beautiful. You talk about a guy that couldn't see. Now, this guy was lame in his body. He had problems with his legs and his feet also, like the guy from Lystra. He had problems like that. It doesn't say he was blind. Yet, I believe this man had a lack of perception. I believe he couldn't see past the front door into the temple. I believe he couldn't see past just the first potential donor. I believe he couldn't see past that. I believe he had a circle around him that says, this is all I know. This is all I can see. This is all I'll ever know or see. And I believe there's a lot of Christians walking around like that, around everywhere, just walking around that. All they can see is a certain area. They can't see beyond that. They can't believe beyond that because that's all they can see. And that's not even your main problem. Your main problem might be another area, but that area right there is affecting your sight and your perception. You see, this man couldn't see what God had for him. He knew something, but he didn't know enough. He was lame in his legs, but it affected his sight. We can easily be blinded by the things that bother us in another section of our lives. You may be going through something here and then in one area, and it affects you in a whole different area of your life. And see, if you can say, you know what, wait a minute. If I can believe for this, then why can't I believe for that? You see, God has more for you than you can perceive. That's why being in church and we motivate you and we speak the gospel to you and we tell you about how what God wants to do for you and we speak about the things that are not as if they were and we begin to speak those things and prophesy those things and declare those things that God's getting ready to give you a harvest and God's getting ready to give you a new job and God's getting ready to turn your marriage around and God's getting ready to heal you of hepatitis C and God's getting ready to remove that addiction from you. And as we begin to do that, you're looking, you say, well, I can't see that yet. I can't see that yet until one day you put some Holy Ghost glasses on and all of a sudden you say, wait, I can see it in the name of Jesus. Man, you hit the ground right here in an altar call. You got up and now you can see differently. Now you can think differently. All of a sudden you're feeling different. You're believing different. Your thought is, your faith is bigger. All of a sudden you say, wait a minute. The devil's been ripping me off too long. Wait a minute. I can do that job. I can probably do it better than them right there. I'm going to go apply for that job. Before, you wouldn't even go apply for that job. You didn't feel worthy for that job. But all of a sudden, Sam gets up here and says, you know, you can start your own company. And all of a sudden, it clicks in you. Man, I make the best burritos in Albuquerque. You know, wait a minute. Look at my husband. Look at him. See, the right perception is crucial in receiving your harvest. The right perception allows you to see what God has. The third reason why people don't step out is they refuse to step out because of fear, man. You're afraid. You won't step out. Man. I'm sure the devil tried to talk to Dave Nickel and Darlene. I'm sure he tried to talk to them. When we talked to them, we met with them and said, hey, would you consider the home? And he said, I'm going to let me pray. He came back and says, we're in. I mean, that you're going to quit your job? And, yeah. I mean, you're not going to have that insurance? Yeah, we're in. I'm like, really? Really? He goes, yeah. He didn't say, well, is there a 401k at the home? Is there a 401k at the home? I said, nah. No. I said, no. What? One day. I said, right now, there's none. That takes faith. He could have been saying, I want to, Pastor, but I don't think I can. He didn't do that. He walked in and says, Pastor, when are we doing this? I'm ready. You, Sister Julie, I'm down. Pastor, let's do this. Don't you know? I know every part of that home. I grew up in that home. See, fear is the opposite of faith. The lack of faith, people never enjoy the capacity God has for them, the abilities God has, the opportunities that God has for them, because they never step out in faith. They're so full of fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. Fear won't let you believe for the impossible. Fear won't let you sow the seed. When we pick up a seed here, we're going to pick up a seed here soon so we can finish this building. And when we do that, fear is going to try to grip you and say, I can't. $1,000, I can't believe for $1,000. I can't believe $500. Pastor, I can't believe. I don't have that. Well, who does? Not a lot of people do. That's why it's called a faith seed. And it's so important. It's so important for us to not let fear get in our minds. We have to understand what God is asking of us. When God asks us, we need to be able to step out in faith, not in fear. See, fear will never let you receive your harvest. It won't let you sow the seed that is required for the type of harvest, the size of harvest that God has for you. Fear won't let you even tithe your 10%. Tonight when Sam said, okay, Eric, get the ushers, take your place. And you said, man, I wish I could afford to give my 10% tithe. If I could just get my tithe, if I could just start tithing, man, but man, I'm afraid I won't have this, and I'm afraid of this happening and that happening. But man, you one of these days, you gotta get that fear, and you gotta kick him out off of your shoulder, kick him out of your wallet, kick him out of your house, kick him out of the bank. You gotta kick him out of there and say, wait a minute, I'm getting robbed, man. The devil's telling me that I'm not gonna have enough if I don't tithe, and it seems like I never have enough anyway. So I just need to step out to the edge, and no matter if I got to do away without some extra stuff, I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to sow seed. I'm going to stand in the face of God and say, Lord, I know that you're pleased with me, because I don't know how I'm believing, but I'm believing God beyond a shadow of a doubt. You see, God has called you to bring your offering before the Lord. And when you bring it in fear, you're not bringing it in faith. That's the opposite of faith. But when you bring it in faith, let me tell you what happened. Something activates in the spirit when you say hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, let me get online and boom, praise the Lord. All of a sudden you activate something in the heavens. All of a sudden windows start to open up a little bit. All of a sudden God begins to pour out on your life. And all of a sudden, before you know it, what became a little small idea about selling a couple of jerseys turn into a business that becomes lucrative, that becomes other seed for the furtherance of the ministry, that it allows you to do what you've dreamed about, you and your wife. It allows you to begin to do things. Why? Because you stood out in faith. Let me tell you, the only difference between you and all of those that have God has blessed is that they stepped out in faith. They stepped out to the edge and said, I'm all in. I don't know what else to do, but here I am. Too many people walk in fear. So if you want the victory, if you want to see the impossible, if you want to see your harvest, then step out in faith. Step out to the edge. Number four, you see, this kind of person that never steps out to the edge, the reason why is because they have forgotten what they have access to. You have forgotten who you have access to. See, you'll never experience all the Lord has for you if you don't step out in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. David's faith allowed him to run down into the valley, defeat the giant, experience victory, and be raised up to be the next leader of God's people. If he would have stood in fear like the rest of the people, King Saul, the captains of the army, his brothers, some of his cousins and friends that were there for battle, in battle gear, some of the older guys that had been around through many battles before, they had fought Philistines before, but they had never fought a giant like Goliath. See, some of you might have to fight a giant you've never seen before, but it's okay. All you need is one stone and a real accurate slingshot. Pop. That's all that he had. That's all he had. He didn't have no nuclear warheads. He didn't have no sophisticated armor. In fact, when they tried to put armor on him, he said, take this off. I can't fight in this fleshly armor. I'm under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't need that. I got what God's given me. Listen, he didn't need any kind of rocket launcher or any kind of long-range rifle or any kind of clip with a 16 in the clip and just ready to go ahead and handle business. He just took one stone of the five that he picked up and popped him right in the head. Why? Because he was a man of faith. David had possessed a next level type of faith. The moment that they said, listen, David, we want you to come in and we want you to, your dad's requiring you. When he got there, they anointed him with oil. He already had a measure of faith. He already had faith to defeat lions, and he had a faith to defeat a bear. He had faith to do great things, to protect his father's investments. He had all that already. But when they anointed him with oil and he began to prophesy over him, I believe the prophet, he doesn't say it, but I believe the prophet must have looked at David and said, listen, this task that I have, that God has, I'm anointing you for, that God is anointing you for, that God is getting ready to put on you, is going to take next level faith. You're not going to be able to go where you're going with the same kind of faith you have now. Oh, your faith is good. What you have has been powerful. What has brought you to where you're at. But you can no longer operate with this level of faith. You're going to have to go to next level faith, because you're going to face giants. You're going to face kings. You're going to face enemies that you've never seen before. And I've got news for you here tonight. Whatever enemies that you've fought up to right now, you've had enough faith to defeat them. Listen, the enemies that will come in the future, your next level faith will make them just move out of the way. Without faith, you'll never please God. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I've seen so many people be shaken. Sometimes you just need a refreshing of faith, that's all. Just to stir it up. There's nothing like unbelief or doubt that can kill your dreams, man. Unbelief limits you, and it limits God. When it comes to faith and doubt, I'd rather choose faith any day of the week. I walked in doubt too many years. You see, it's the plan of the devil. It's the plan of the enemy to replace your faith with doubt and unbelief. He's going to try to convince you there's no way. He's going to try to convince you there's absolutely no way. But I'm here to declare to you right now that all you do is got to look around you, and you'll see men and women that has already been through where you've been through. And if you'll sit there and pick their brain and their heart, they'll look at you in the eye and say, listen, the only thing difference between me and you is I believed. The only difference between me and you is I stepped out. The only difference between me and you, I didn't just step out a little bit. I went all the way to the edge. I believed with everything inside of me. I couldn't believe for anything else. I was at the end of my rope. I was at the end of everything I knew. So I went ahead and got up underneath the faith that God says, and I got me some now faith. I got me some next level faith. And all of a sudden, my husband got saved. All of a sudden, we're in the ministry. All of a sudden, we both got these great jobs. All of a sudden, see, when you face circumstances that shake your faith, it's then that you got to rise up. You got to believe God even stronger for the promises he's given you. He's just allowing you to be tested a little bit. Let him test your faith. In the last days, people are going to start falling away from God. They're going to fall away. Even God's like, oh my God, what about me, Pastor? Well, not if you have faith. Don't let anybody steal your faith. Don't let anybody rip you off of your faith. You know, the end days are going to make it look like everything's going crazy. But you know what? You have to hold on. You got to tighten up. You got to say, I believe that God is what he says he is. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And I believe he, when he rose from the dead, he's coming back again. And I don't care what any humanistic philosophy says. I don't care what scientists say. I have seen the mighty hand of God work in my life. And nobody can stop me or nobody can unconvince me that I haven't been saved and forgiven. You see, I've seen too much now. In the last days, a lot of people are going to be bamboozled. Doubt and unbelief is the opposite of faith. Remember this. There will always be doubt, people that are always trying to bring doubt to you. When they do, yeah, but no. Come on. You remember me. I was an impossible case. Maybe you don't believe, but you know me. When I see people from when I grew up with and stuff like that, they look at me and they look at me. They let you be the pastor? I said, that ought to be enough to get you saved, fool. Because if anybody knew me, you did. You know all the dirt. You know everything. And if you can't see the hand of God moving in my life, then you're blinder than I thought you were. Come on, somebody. See, believers, either you believe or you don't believe. There's no in between. You either believe or you don't believe. Come on, somebody. See, when you believe that God exists and that he loves you and wants to meet your needs and then your believing activates your faith in your heart and all of a sudden you see the hand of God move, man. See, the reverse of faith is doubt. Doubt tells you that God doesn't exist, that where is he at? And he's unloving, doesn't care about me. What kind of God does this? And, you know, that's your flesh. That's why it's important to stay in the Spirit of God. Doubt gives rise to fear, which brings torment instead of peace. Fear actually keeps you from receiving what God has for you. Faith allows you to receive everything that God has for you. Amen. And God's going to allow you to go through some things, tests and trials. That's when you start questioning your faith. Don't question your faith. Man, tough times demand tough faith, next level type of faith. And the tests that happen, they're going to strengthen you. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You're going to need perseverance in these days that are coming, man. It don't matter who wins for president. Jesus is still king. It don't matter. I mean, yeah, we I don't want him, and I don't want her, and listen, he said that, and she said that. You know what? Let me tell you something. Jesus is still on the throne no matter what. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. I trust in him, not in anything else. So if you need to refresh your faith tonight, it's going to take some faith, some next level faith. I know I can see some of you. I know some of you. I talk to some of you and I say to myself, man, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life when you finish this season of your life. But listen, if you're going to get to that season of your life, you're going to have to make sure that you possess some next level faith. That means you're going to have to quit falling apart in this season. You're going to have to quit letting doubt enter your heart. You're going to have to quit letting unbelief try to creep in or that little faith. You need to get some big faith. You need to start trusting. You listen, every time God speaks to you, you need to start sowing some ridiculous seed in the offering. You need to start believing God for some crazy miracles for your loved ones. You need to start speaking over your kids at night. When they're gone, go to their beds and start laying hands on their bed sheets and start laying hands on their pillows and tell them, Lord, begin to give them dreams about who you are, God. You're going to have to start believing radical. You cannot get to the next place with the same kind of faith you've been walking in. This God is saying He wants to give you next level faith. He wants to give you some crazy faith, some radical faith, some kind of faith that believes if you pray, God's going to do it. If you pray, God's going to heal. Listen, I believe this evening that there are some men and women in this place that say, that's the kind of faith that I want. And if that's the kind of faith that you desire, if that's the faith that you desire, I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to get to this altar and say, God, I want next level faith. I need some next level faith. Don't hesitate. Get yourself to this altar. Get it to the altar. Come on, get some next level faith. Come on. Come on. I'm gonna wait for you. I'm talking about next level faith. I'm not talking about the same old little oligopistos kind of faith, that limited faith, that small faith. But I'm talking about the kind of faith that'll take you where you need to go. Come on. Come on, come on. If you want next level faith, come and declare it. Listen, I can't do nothing for you, but God can. And you gotta believe. You gotta just trust God. Woo!
There is revival in the church tonight. There is revival in the church tonight. There is revival in the church tonight. Oh, there is revival in the church. Revival in the church. Revival in the church tonight.
Well, I got the Holy Ghost.
Right now, I've got the Holy Ghost upon me, the Holy Ghost upon me, the Holy Ghost.